Stockton. Good evening. Good to see all of you here. Glad to have visitors with us tonight, and good to have the Montgomery family as well. They're not visiting first-time visitors. They just live up in Jacksonville, come down every now and then. Good to have them down with us. Good to have first-time visitors with us tonight. Thank you for being with us. I wanted to tell you something about that has been happening this year. This year, every Wednesday night, we have been over 100 people in our Wednesday night service. God has been blessed. Now, you know, it seems like 100's not many. Well, if you had only 12, 100's a lot. So what we need to be praying at and working at is not only do we get our Sunday school has been above 100. Okay, so we need to work on our Sunday evening services. Why are we concentrating on these? Because if we get our Wednesday night service above 100, your Sunday morning is going to automatically grow. It's just simple math. It just how it works. You get your Sunday night and your Sunday school above 100, your Sunday morning is going to grow. Well, how do you know? Well, because as a pastor, we know our flock, know our sheep. And at Sunday school, every Sunday school always increases at the 11 o'clock morning worship. Just that simple. It just is. And so if you get people hungering and thirsting after the Word of God, that they're willing to come back Wednesday night, that's amazing. You know, most churches decline. But ours jumps back up there. And I'm glad you're here. Don't get me wrong. I'm thankful all of you here. It's a good crowd here tonight. It really is. But what I'm saying, we need to pray and we need to work at getting our Sunday evening up to above 100. So God can continue to grow. Because I believe more important than numerical growth is spiritual growth. And that is where we get the food, is in these services here. You know, our Sunday evening and Sunday morning. We'll be in Mark chapter 7 as we continue our studies through the book of Mark. But I wanted to just highlight that for you, that our Sunday school is above 100 and our Wednesday night services are above 100 now. So praise God for that. Just keep working at it. Well, how's that work, Pastor? Well, each and every one of us got a responsibility. We take these tracts, we invite people, we come to visitation, we invite folks to special things like, for instance, the prayer breakfast. The last three prayer breakfasts that the men have, we've had a couple of men that don't even come to church show up to the prayer breakfast. And that's how it works, just like that. I was visiting Saturday with David and Karen. They sit over here right by Brother Felipe and Mr. Burgos, right behind them over there. They visit on Sunday morning, and both of them asked, is there something extra that men and women can get involved in? We'd like to start coming to that. And I mentioned the prayer breakfast. I also mentioned once a month the ladies have their ladies' meeting. And so, you know, that's where it works, getting to know people and being faithful to invite them to them extra things, you know. There's survey after survey says that people will come to church if they're just simply asked. We got to ask. Got to be faithful to ask. Really do. Got to be on top of that and be at our A game when it comes to other people. Really do. So, a preacher, I've been inviting people for years and trying to spend time to share the gospel, and just isn't happening. It's our job to water and to plant. We let God bring the increase. You just stay faithful. You just stay faithful. God will do the rest. And that's what He's looking for, is people that will be found faithful. On top of that note, I mentioned this morning the men's retreat that's coming up in April. If you're going, please sign up over here tonight if you're going, or at least by Wednesday night. We need to know over here. It's April 7th and 8th. Next week I'll talk about it again. Actually, if you can do it tonight, that'd be great so we get a little picture. I think I saw three or four already signed up. We're running a little bit behind on that one. But please sign up if you want to go April 7th and 8th. That's down in Tampa. Brother Kurt Scully will be the main speaker. And he always does a good job. I think we've heard him two or three times at other places, myself personally. He does a real good job. So please, if you'd like to go and be a part of that, man, sign up and be involved in that. That would be a great help so we can get that organized. April 7th and 8th. We'll leave on a Friday, come back on a Saturday. All right, Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Oh, one more plug on these camps. Teen Extreme, people, if you're going to Teen Extreme, my wife needs the waiver signed. They're calling every day now from Pensacola, wanting the waivers. They have to be signed. So we can't forge your signature. it just doesn't work that way. So if you're going to Teen Extreme Camp, whether you're a man, an adult or a camper, you've got to have the form turned in. The form's over here, and we need those forms turned in so that we can do that. Now, this week, we will be making the deposits down on that, but we got to have those waivers. If there's no waiver turned in for you, she will not be able to make your deposit, okay? Help me out with that. Mark 7, verse number 24. Mark 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came, fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Verse 30. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and impotent in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Verse 35, and straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. Well, that's our God, isn't it? He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You notice there in verse 24, there was a pursuit of privacy. Jesus was a little worn, a little tired, looking for a place to kind of get away to refresh himself and gather his thoughts there. In verse 24, said he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Now listen, there's no doubt there was a need for rest in his life. The Bible talks about him being tired, talks about him even being asleep in the bottom of the boat. You remember a couple of months ago in Mark, we saw in the bottom of the ship, he was out there and the storm came upon, he was asleep and sleeping so hard, the disciples thought that they would perish, but he awoke and plus, you know, as he awoke, he had calmed the storms of the sea, the winds, the billows, they were still there, but you know, he was looking for a place to rest, a place to get away, a place to get aside and to spend some time alone. But it says there, but he could not be hid. Well, I wish it was that way today. I wish today that it was so here in amongst us that there would be no time in our life, no time in our walk with God that Jesus would be hid. Fortunately, you know as well as I'm standing here, there's times in our own life that our own testimony hides the light of Christ. The Bible says in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the gospel we hid is hid to those who the devil, the God of this world has blinded them. They cannot see it. To be honest, sometimes there's the cares of life gets in our way, and I guess you'd say it like this: we allow our problems to eclipse Christ. We allow everyday happenings, relationship problems, work problems, physical, financial problems. We allow those things. Listen, we got to get to the point that we'll let our problems understand and let our problems know and our difficulties know how big our God is. We got to get to that point, that our neighbors understand that God, the God that we serve, the God that we love, the God that loves us, He will not be hid. And whatever it is, it's hiding the Christ of our life, the sovereign God of the universe. Whatever it is that we put a veil over and we cover, we need to take the cloak off and say, let the light shine. And let Jesus be seen in us, because why? He's the hope of glory. The Bible says and teaches us that there has to be in us the ability to answer and to give an account to those about Jesus Christ, the Christ of our life. To give an answer to those that would know. The Bible teaches us that we are an epistle open and read among all men. And we need not hide Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. Listen, education is good. We need education. We don't need to sit around and be ignorant. And listen, a lot of this education that's getting, I'm telling you, it's overwhelming, overwhelmingly humanistic. And it's not going to present Christ. It's not like it used to be, where Christ and God was part of the foundation of academia. It's not like that anymore. So we need to spend time with God alone, so that we are charged up, and so that when we're in those dark spaces and those dark places, that we can give an answer to the hope which lies in us. And boy, even as we read here, Jesus wanted to go get a part, and said, listen, they would not allow him to even have time apart. In so much, you have this here pagan woman. You have this Greek woman from Syrophoenicia. She comes and she begins to speak and begin to talk to Jesus there in verse number 25, and gave a description of her child. There it says that the child was of an unclean spirit, and she had heard of Jesus. She was looking for help. I wonder how far you and I would go for those we care about. I wonder how we would find ourselves even in an embarrassing situation, that we would accept the embarrassing situation so that we could present our need to the God of heaven. Listen, we have to understand something, dear friend. The children and those that are younger, and even for that matter, older people in the Lord and adults and aged people make some foolish decisions. I mean, they make foolish decisions. You think about men in their 60s getting caught in infidelity. By then, dear friend, it should not, ought not be, for sure. But it's happening. I'm talking men of God. It shouldn't be. But this woman here found herself in a predicament, found herself in so much the Bible. Even Jesus said here in the Word of God that the children have to be fed. The children of Israel, they have to be fed, and they have to have it first. And he even talked to her and mentioned to her that in a way called her a dog. And she said, surely, Lord, you're right. You're absolutely right. But even the dogs get underneath the children's table, and even the dogs at some point get a crumb now and then. This was an embarrassing situation she found herself in. not because of what she had done, but because of what the child, the situation the child was found in. The child was found in an unclean spirit. She was willing to accept the humiliation to find help. Listen, love your kids. Love them that fall. Love them that falter. Love them that find themselves in a predicament such as this, where it's an unclean spirit, whatever it might be in their life. Because there's a lot pulling at our kids today. Yeah. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Love on them. Care for them. Spend time with them. The Bible says, ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one that's fallen. Get to the point where you see that it's only by the grace of God that you are where you are, and who you are, and what you are, and you're standing where you are. And God, don't ever, dear friend, don't ever snub your nose up at somebody that's looking for help and needing help, especially if it's your children. No. I'll be honest with you. Well, I'll tell you, there's decisions that my children that have made that I don't agree with. I'll be honest with you. I love them. They're always welcome at my house. I'm going to love them as much, as long as they're alive, I'm going to love them towards Jesus. I'm not going to, I don't agree with things that some things that my children personally do and have done and will do. But I'm going to love them. They're what God has given me to love. And I'm just going to say, and let them know face to face, I love you. I don't agree with it, but I love you. I want what's best for you. I want you to love God, and same way with my children, we have to be that way with each other. The whole purpose in loving somebody that has faltered and fallen, dear friend, is that they might get back under the umbrella of God. That's what it's all about. It ain't about shaming and disgracing, and it's not about agreeing and condoning. It's about loving them to Jesus. This woman found herself in a predicament. I don't know about you, dear friend. It took a lot for her to just accept that she's being called a dog. She came there for help. You think Jesus didn't recognize her humility? What did he say there? But Jesus said in verse 27, said unto her, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this sake, go thy way. He recognized her humility. He understood where she was at. Hey, he didn't have to even pause for a moment. Nobody around him would have thought anything about it. Jesus would have kept on walking. Because everybody around him thought she was a dog. Every last one of them understood she was a Greek, of Greek, from the Syrophoenician by nation. Everybody that was following. And Jesus could have kept on walking, put his nose, and kept on going. But just like he had to go on down to Samaria, you understand there was three different ways to get to where Jesus was going. But he says, I must needs go. He's going to Jericho. Yeah, I must needs go through Samaria. What for? That woman at the well. He could have went three different ways. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, dear friend, Jesus didn't even have to go anyway. He could have just thought it and been there. That's the God we serve. But he must needs go down there where this woman was first living in sin, had been married to five, now living with a man. And he understood that. And I'm telling you, she was indignant to him. She wasn't accepting it at first. You study it out and look at it. She wasn't really happy at first. Matter of fact, she said, there's the well. You don't even have a pot to give me water to drink, sir. But Jesus just loved her. Before you know it, she's running off into town. Come. There's somebody out here at this well that told me everything I ever done. You know why she's out there in the middle of the day, by the way? Because everybody in town had shunned her. It wasn't the time to be gathering water, dear friend, not in the middle of the day. If that was the case, there'd have been other women out there, other people out there. She was out there all by herself because nobody wanted to even be around. I don't know what in the world we think we got to be a respecter of persons for sometimes. I mean, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every last one of us had to see Jesus face to face at the foot of Calvary. And you didn't show up there and he plucked your wings off either. Showed up there as a sinner needing Jesus. Salvation by grace, full and free. She said, come here and listen to what this man has told me. You think that was an embarrassing situation for that woman? Her testimony. Be honest with some, just be quite honest with you. Sometimes our testimony of old is quite embarrassing. It is. Not everybody was brought up in church and brought up in Sunday school and just got saved in Sunday school. You know, praise God, I'm telling you, but you've got to be saved the same way if you grow up in Sunday school, if you grow up down there in the street. It's through Jesus and Him alone. And sometimes it's quite embarrassing. There's been times I have talked to young men, you know, and spent time counseling young men that I had to bring up some of the things that I had done in the past that God had brought me out of and through and helped me. It wasn't like a trophy. It was humility and shamefulness that I had to share that. But you do that to save them trouble. This woman said, come here. Do you think everybody in that town didn't know what that woman had done and did and was? But she went anyway. Here this woman showed up. She had a problem. She had difficulty. She wasn't embarrassed to do it. She said, listen, God's grace is what I need. Sometimes, dear friend, we're going to have to get beyond embarrassment to get help. You know what helps you? You know what hinders most of us from getting help? Embarrassment. What will they think of me? My wife will tell you, dear friend, she grew up in around church, in church, got me in church and everything. And I thought all along I was married to a saved woman. I didn't know, man, how this woman married the devil himself. I was thinking to myself, how this, you know, this here saint of God, but she was not saved. She had made a profession of faith and lived like in fear of wondering what her church would think till she come to realize, man, I got to get past this. I need Jesus. It's an embarrassing thing, dear friend, sometimes to admit. But the only way you're going to get help, dear friend, is get beyond that. This woman got beyond it. And Jesus met the need. Then leapt up out of Tyre and Sidon. He headed off over to Decapolis. Decapolis was a place with about 10 little smaller, it's a region, kind of a 10 little cities things there. And as he was headed down there, they brought this this guy that was kind of deaf and dumb, I guess you would say. I don't even know if that's even proper. Man, sometimes I get so nervous I'm saying the wrong stuff. But I guess that's what it is, because it said in the last verse, God said, the deaf hear and the dumb do speak. So it's biblically correct. If it's not politically correct, if it bothers you, I'm sorry. I'm just repeating what the word says. Here it says here, verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the coast, the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And this is the whole thing is kind of like, wow. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He spake plain. I mean, just this Decapolis place was a place where Herod Philip, kind of a moderate type leader, he kind of oversaw this area. It wasn't Herod Antipas, it was Herod Philip there, and he oversaw it. And Jesus left the Gentile region. He came down and he spent time here from Sidon to Tyre. Now he's in Decapolis there. And they bring this man. Unusual. type ceremony. I mean, unusual. When I read through this and I was preparing this and looking through it, I was like, I don't even know how to explain this. He put his fingers in his ears. He spit. And then touched his tongue. I'm telling you, the health department would go crazy, wouldn't it? And then I began to think, Jesus don't do everything that you think he's going to do the way you think he's going to do it. I don't know of anybody. I remember one time Haley had an ear infection. We was in Greece. Oh, man. Her ear it was so infected. I mean, it was bad. Next thing we know, her ear started bleeding. Her eardrum actually bust. It was such a bad infection. And boy, we rushed her over to the hospital. That Greek doctor had her got in there and began to examine her and put it in there. And then he asked me and my wife, so what have y'all been treating this with? Did you go to the doctor, you know, wanting to know how the doctor treated her? So, well, we've been putting olive oil and what was it? Eucalyptus? Oh, garlic and olive oil down inside. We smashed this up some garlic, put it inside some olive oil. That Greek doctor took his glasses off. This is a girl. This isn't a salad. Man. Jesus stuck his fingers in his ear and spit and then touched the tongue. Not always how we think it's going to be done, is it? Sometimes we get it in our mind how God's going to work. God's going to do it this way, it's going to be this way, and it's got to be this way because that's how he's done it in the past. This is an amazing ceremony here. I'm sure everybody else was like, what in the world is going on around here? What is happening? But when it's all said and done, the last verse it says, he doth. Hath done all things well. Now, there's an amazing thing here. Verse 36, after the man can speak, after he can plainly speak, Jesus charged him and said, don't go tell nobody. Keep it quiet, zip it up, don't say a word. And what happened? So much more, a great deal, they published it. Now, I got to thinking about this. Here we have been told by commandment of God in all the Gospels, including the Acts, the book of Acts, and many other places that we are to be a witness unto God. We're commanded. Go ye in all the world and preach the Gospel. And we just simply don't do it. But here's a man that was said, Jesus charged him not to, and he did it. I think this is the problem. We equate our salvation to a lesser miracle than a deaf and dumb man speaking. Really ain't nothing to tell. Just going to heaven. Just going to see Jesus. Just going to walk on a street of gold. Just going to live forever. I think we equate salvation with some lesser value of a miracle. Dear friend, it's a miracle. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Headed to hell when Jesus moved in on our way to heaven. And he calls us sons and daughters. And makes us heir and joint heir. Christ Jesus. I would submit unto you, dear friend, that salvation is a greater miracle than any miracle that you can find in the Word of God. Any miracle. That a God as sovereign that we know from the Bible would move in to you and I and live within us. What a miracle. Me and my wife would be married 30 years come May. If she'd be honest with you, there's probably been 142 times six that she would have moved out a long time ago. Because I, ornery, stubborn, and bullheaded, 30 years. But God has never even thought about moving out. Never. In all of my foolish acts after salvation, my honoriness and my unkindness and ungentleness and selfishness, God has never sent me a notice to say, hey, you keep that up, buddy, I'm moving out. Never. You don't talk about a miracle. I agree with you. That's a great miracle. It is. Jesus to walk up to a man that's never spoke, never heard, and couldn't speak right, had a speech impediment, and then Jesus works on him, and next thing you know, he's speaking plainly. That's a great miracle. It is. But salvation, so much greater than miracle. I think we need to tell it. Need to tell it. We need to talk about it. We need to spend time, letting people know what Jesus has done for you. The Bible says very plainly, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So think about it. This week when you're out and you have opportunity to tell what Jesus has done for you, think about the miracle that's worked in your life. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. God, to open up the Word of Mark and to study through your Bible. And Lord, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through such a great book. Lord, some hard things that we've seen. Some wonderful things. Some things that have been encouraging. Some things that have been convicting. You said your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. God, help us as we study your Word to allow you to chisel away at the carnality of our life and help us to walk a spiritual walk, shining forth the gospel of Christ and reflecting the image of Christ in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.